Hello, everybody. This is the Chocolate News Podcast. I'm your co-host, John Alexander Reese.
And I'm your co-host, Andrea Carter.
And if you did not know, the Cincinnati Herald has been around since 1955 and is the leading African-American owned newspaper in the greater Cincinnati area and Northern Kentucky area. How's it going, Andrea?
It's going fine, John. I'm in a great mood. I am calm. I'm relaxed. I helped celebrate my father's birthday. He turned 90.
Wow, that's
We took
great.
a we took him on a cruise ship. You know the best thing about a cruise ship?
What?
Clean air. No problems with allergies. You don't have to take an allergy pill. You don't have to worry about dust. It is just no pollens blowing, nothing. All you have is salt air. My sister and I, we were fine for an entire week. We had no problems with allergies. The closer that ship got to Florida, we start coughing.
I mean, you know what? I did not know about the clean air part. That sounds like a dream.
Yes, it is very much a dream. We lived it, and then my sister just stopped coughing yesterday, and I was just like, my postnasal drip was dry. I didn't have an issue. My eyes were not itchy. I had, some people get that darkness around their eyes because of the allergies. That was lightening up. I mean, it was wonderful for a week. But anyway, I digress. So, but overall, it was. It's great. The weather's decent. It's that warm, cool, warm, cold type situation we got going on right now. You don't know whether to keep your heat on or not, but turn it down. So, that fun part of being right before spring, end of winter. So
Oh
it's
yeah.
fantastic.
So
So
fun.
it's
So
so fun.
yeah, so Andrew, what's some of the chocolate news stories we have this week?
Well, one chocolate news is very sad to learn. Last night, John Lomax, a longtime news anchor with Channel 12, who retired last year, he passed away Tuesday night. He was 72. He had been a reporter for over 40 years, but he had been
Wow.
with WKRC for about 32 years. And he started as a reporter in 1983. And then he became a morning news anchor in 1990, and he remained a morning news anchor for Good Morning Cincinnati for 32 years.
Wow.
He was that friendly face you saw in the morning that told you when the schools were closed, if it snowed or not, or what are the pressing matters of the day. He was your first face that you saw when you turned on the television. So it's very sad, especially for a local Black journalist to lose him and his stature. He was considered the godfather of Channel 12. He took care of everybody. Within the Black news community, he was very well known among the Black reporters, the PR people, and he was just an all-around good guy. And we're very sorry to hear of his death. So
Yeah, he will be missed.
he will be very missed. And I wish his family well in his trying times. But one thing that did occur Sunday night, which we saw, was the Academy Awards. And we have to celebrate one Divine Joy Randolph. She won the Best Supporting Actress Award, I believe,
Yes.
for The Holdovers, which I still is on my list to see. And then also, what was it, American Fiction
Yes.
won an award for Best. It wasn't best new screenplay. It was the other one, the best adaptation.
Yeah, yes.
So and there were a number of people who received the spotlight at the Oscars that night. But Cord Jefferson won for best adapted screenplay for American Fiction, which I think is fantastic for him. Again, on my list to see. Pierce Bowers won the Academy Award for best documentary short film for The Last Repair Shop. Congratulations for that. I would just say that it is, it just, those were the three that shined the most, even though Oppenheimer won the most awards that night. You sort of knew that they were going to run with. Barbie did not win anything, even though you did see that performance by, who was that who did Ken?
It was Ryan Gosling.
Ryan Gosling.
Yeah.
I saw him in his pink suit and I just went, oh no. So
Now, Barbie did win one award. It was best song, but unfortunately, it was not "I'm Not Ken." I'm just, or well, I can't remember the song. "I'm Just Ken." It was the other song, it was the Billie Eilish song, which was good too. But "I'm
Yeah, I
Just
mean,
Ken" was a
it,
highlight of the night.
and I saw what she wore to the Oscars, and I was like, "What was that? I mean, are we back in school days? Are we back in high school? You know?" I was like, "What's going on?" So though there, I did read up on the both the good and the bad fashions of the Academy Awards. Some people tried for old Hollywood. Some people tried for, I guess, new Hollywood, if I can say that. And some were just downright wrong. So
My
I mean,
goodness.
it's like when you walk down the street and you're in a crowd and you're like, where's the fashion police? Oh my God, why would you even someone wear that out? But you know, everyone has their own tastes. And sometimes you just have to question, my God, what did you do? But anyway, so that was the Academy Awards. You know, it's always fun to talk fashion about the awards, but we don't have enough time for what we saw on the red carpet. Woo. Anyway, so I would just say that one thing, it is March, so it is Women's History Month. Also, I'm getting excited because the brackets come out on Sunday for March Madness, but we're not there yet. Anyway, but what's interesting is at the Freedom Center, and I got to get down and take a picture of this. Is the iconic Harriet Tubman statue. It is be in front of the Freedom Center. It is a very interesting statue to have in front. They had a grand opening ceremony for it. You know, Greg Landsman spoke and said it's a remarkable addition to the city. It is an 11-foot bronze statue of Harriet Tubman entitled The Beacon of Hope. It will be on display through April 30th. So get down there while you're hanging out. You know, it's about to be baseball season, so you're going to be down there to see the Reds. You can stop by on your way to the stadium and see the Harriet Tubman statue.
Oh yeah.
And or hang out, sit in the area, look at it, drink a beer, go for it. Well, don't drink the beer, but you know, anyway, you know what I'm saying. Actually, you know, I think the Banks is that open container area, so
Yeah,
technically,
the Dora, so yeah.
actually, you can drink a beer while looking at the statue.
Yeah.
Don't touch it, but just you can look at it. So there's that. So I'm looking forward to seeing that and getting a picture and you know be inspired by the Beacon of Hope because she stands for so much. She helped you know free people from slavery. She helped lead the Underground Railroad. And I think it's just a wonderful sense of inspiration to look at and see what a woman can do in trying times.
Oh,
So
yeah.
that and then but just go from there. So yay for that. Then I would just say one interesting note for also of history is the Dr. Jones Griffin. He is a medical doctor. Who it's very interesting that he is now the director of the medical staff of his hospital. And he's the first Black person to do that. And he is the, I should say, Dr. James D. Griffin. He's become the first Black president of the medical staff of the formerly segregated hospital where he was born 60 years ago, which is.
Wow.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
He is with the Parkland Memorial Hospital in Texas. That's what I said, Texas. So,
Texas. Wow.
Texas. And he was born in 1958 in a then segregated labor and delivery wing. 60 years later, he is now president of the medical staff. He's come a long way.
Sure
And
has. Oh my goodness.
yeah, I mean, and I always like looking at these little gems of history. Because you never know where you're going to find it. And this was brought to us because of the newsletter, Because of Them We Can mentions him. I think it's wonderful that, you know, again, another piece of Black history that's going on right now. Another piece of Black history, I'll mention this. I was going through X, formerly Twitter. I can't get used to that either, but anyway.
Still a dumb name.
I know. Ben Crump text on Monday. Many people may not remember him, but David E. Harris, the first Black pilot to become captain for a major U.S. commercial airline, he died. He was 89 years old. He flew for
Oh.
American Airlines for 30 years, and he broke the mold. He was the trailblazer for American Airlines and became their first Black captain to fly an airplane for them. So that was another little gem of Black history that has gone, we have Dr. Griffin, he's still here, and then we have Mr. Harris, who flew an airplane, because you never think about who's flying in the cockpit and what color they are. You just want them to land the plane, say take off and land safely. So, and he broke the color barrier for American Airlines as a captain to fly an airplane. So I'm sorry to see that, but Ben Crump, he always has these little gems that he tweets from time to time, if we can still say tweet. And I just wanted to mention that, as I mentioned Dr. Griffin and his success of running the hospital that he was born at 60 years ago. So congratulations to Dr. Griffin. Another little sad gem, Marcia Fudge. She has finally decided to step down. She has announced her retirement as HUD secretary. She's going to leave a lasting impact on the affordable housing and advocating for also advocating for the Black press as well. But it's kind of sad that she has decided to step down. She is 71. Her last day in office will be March 22nd, and she's gonna return home to Ohio. I believe she's from the Cleveland area,
Yeah, I believe
but
so.
she says it's time to go home. I do believe strongly that I have done about everything I could do at HUD for this administration as we go into this crazy, silly season of election. Fudge is the second Black woman to lead HUD and has been a key figure in steering the agency through housing crises triggered by the COVID-19 pandemic. She also pushed for the federal government to include the National Newspaper Publishers Association on its advertising spend. She has just done a lot for both the press and for the Biden-Harris administration. Basically, she said that as she's leaving office, to remember this in this silly season, it is not a red or blue issue. Talking about democracy, everybody knows that it's an issue, so it's not a one-sided, it's an American issue. And she's just asking people to support the federal government, support the Constitution, and then get out there and vote for who you believe will be best to run the country. It's kind of sad. She's done a lot for public service. And I don't know what she's going to do next, but she's coming home to Ohio. So we'll see what she does next. So Marcia Fudge coming home to Ohio. Last but not least is, I don't think everyone saw the unveiling of the National Urban League's 2024 unveiling, I should say, the unveiling of its 2024 State of Black America report. You know, the reports are always a gem and wealth of information about what is going on in the Black community, whether it's about housing, mental health, disparities, the medical, just everything that it can cover. And for the 2024 report, they highlight the economic and social justice gaps in America. Basically, it's a lot of essays written about various economic issues and social justice issues and what needs to be addressed and what has not been addressed and things like that. And this year's edition, according to what was sent out, there's insightful commentary from a variety of individuals that provide a comprehensive view of the current landscape. The economic empowerment is central to democracy and to the success of the Black community. And it talks about that. It talks about civic engagement, health shows, health improvement, where there is still gaps. But it basically it takes a look at where we are and where we need to go. What are we missing as part of this American pie? And we're still missing 24% of it. I mean, we've achieved a lot. We've achieved 75% of the American pie. But there are still barriers that we need to break down and overcome to see successfully the other 24%. But overall, it's always good to see a report, a blueprint of where we need to be looking, of who's serving our interests, both on an economic level, who's serving our interests on a policy level, who's serving our interests on a social justice level. And that's going to help with our civic engagement and voter turnout in this 2024 election. So there's the State of Black America report. And that's pretty much it for the chocolate news report. I do want to remind everyone that the Ohio primary is coming up. It is going to be on March 19th. And that early voting for the primary ends March 17th. So that'll be the final day that you can do early voting. Then you have to go on March 19th to go vote. There are a number of elections that have two people running or several people running for office, or just check that box. So both Republican and Democrats have a primary. So go vote your conscience and then prepare to vote again in November for the general election and decide who you want, who will best serve the American people. And that is the chocolate news for today.
All right. Thank you, Andrea. And yeah, that's it for today's show. So I want to thank Andrea again for all the chocolate news. It's greatly appreciated.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I always try looking for those gems that we can talk about.
Remember, folks, you can find more information about today's topics and past podcast episodes at www.thecincinnatiherald.com, the SESH newsletter, or on our social media. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, Instagram, LinkedIn, and Threads. And make sure to subscribe to our podcast on your favorite podcast app. Our podcast is on Apple, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, Amazon, YouTube, and Google Podcasts. And plus, it is St. Paddy's Day this Sunday. So to all my Irish peeps out there, have a happy St. Patrick's Day. I'm John Alexander Reese,
And I'm Andrea Carter.
and have a good day.